You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 345.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too.
We've been celebrating the holidays for weeks around here. Star Wars holidays and whatnot.
Yeah, since about July or August.
Something like that. We're getting into more traditional earthly holidays this week, I think.
Yes.
Get back to our own home galaxy, where your people hail from. And we have a special guest to help us, and that would be the mayor of Chickentown is here.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Cornflake.
You're something of an expert on the holidays and holiday animated specials that we're so obsessed with.
Sure.
So that's the plan, is to talk about the old Christmas specials today, I think.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm glad you decided it was safe to come out with the Star Wars special being
here. Not yet. Mm-hmm. Now that that's no longer occupying the Chicken Town studios, I thought it was safe to drop by on my Christmas rounds.
We did notice last week you, for the most part, kept a safe distance from the studio as we suffered through the Star Wars holiday special.
Exactly.
But we regret nothing.
You regret nothing.
Yeah, I love it.
He's already immune to it.
But this is serious holiday time now. The tree is up, we should say. We have a full-size tree here in the studio. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Very festive, full of chickens and assorted other characters from Christmas specials.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the characters that we're going to talk about today may actually be hanging on the tree or not. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe not.
Possible.
It's possible.
We'll see. But yeah, the tree is covered in chickens, a few turkeys, a rabbit or two perhaps, a squouse. There's a lot going on in that tree. Flying spaghetti monster up at the top,
mm-hmm.
as always.
Bright, beautiful, rainbow-colored lights.
So it's very festive. Here we are. It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you know it's the holidays, too. Very cold in the studio tonight.
Not and snowing yet, inside yet, though.
You wouldn't know by the beverages I'm looking at. The mayor's sipping an iced tea. And Cornflake, of course, thanks to winning the fish heads bet, you're drinking your contest-winning iced coffee.
Makes me so happy.
Even though it's freezing cold in here. I've got the hot coffee. The voice of reason over on this side of the studio. But enjoy your summertime beverages, everyone.
Thank you.
As we shiver. And
I didn't come to this show to be the voice of reason.
We might have to start huddling up under blankets at some point.
Yeah.
Singing out like Bob Cratchit.
I think I'm about one step away from a blanket. Did you see the sweater?
You're layered up already. That's true.
That's a heavy-duty sweater.
This is a blanket disguised as a sweater.
I should have layered better. You're right.
Yes.
And then maybe I'd have an iced beverage as well. All I have is my hot coffee. Let's go. Before we get into our holiday list that the mayor is helping us out with today, Cornflake, National Whatever Day.
For the holidays, I think that this particular National Whatever Day provides us with the best suggestion on how to celebrate. And that's because December 18th is National Give a Wine Club Day. Now, seeing that this was a day prompted me to check what other similar clubs existed, because I especially wanted to see if there really was a Jelly of the Month Club. If you've seen Christmas Vacation, the movie, Clark Griswold infamously got a Jelly of the Month club in place of his holiday bonus one year, and a rant ensues, and Jelly and Jam of the Month club does exist. It's a real thing. It's a real gift or thing that you can do to a person.
it's either a gift or a thing that you can inflict upon someone.
It's truly the gift that keeps on giving, okay. Just like they say in the movie. And so,
I'm not aware of this. I still haven't seen the movie.
Ah. Holiday favorite of mine.
Yeah, it's a holiday favorite of everybody except me. I just have not gotten around to it. I've been very busy for 30 years.
Jelly of the Month Club exists, and obviously Wine of the Month Club.
So there's a day just dedicated to signing people up to receive wine.
Yes.
All right. I can't help but suspect that this day was arranged by the wine industry.
You're probably right. Yeah. But to be fair, there are other clubs.
Are you giving anyone the gift of wine this year?
I think I might sign a few people up for the dog treat club.
Mm.
But I don't know if...
It sounds like a no to me.
I'm signing anybody
sounds
up
like
for
a
wine club.
Very disappointing no.
Everybody who wanted wine, you're getting dog treats.
Yeah. Everybody you know must have been so excited to hear that you were announcing wine day.
And I'm not even checking first to see who has dogs.
Oh.
Well, I never claimed to be good at giving holiday gifts.
Oh, me either. I'm the worst. I guess I thought I was the worst until I heard about
yes, your big giving away dog treats.
Dog treat of the month plan. Maybe my strategy of not giving anybody anything is a step up.
When it's better when you give nothing at all, that's how you know it's a bad gift. So, happy National Wine Club Day, everybody.
Absolutely.
Enjoy your dog treats.
Enjoy wine. Cornflake, do you owe us a trap tree update? You were planning to go up to Maine, visit the trap tree, and I think you have, right?
I have.
This is for new listeners. It's a giant pile of lobster traps decorated with lights and whatnot, and then people go and stare at it by the water.
I'm a bit ashamed, Kevin. You know what else is up in Maine? There's outlet shopping.
Sure.
So I was in town and but I
they're
was...
They're stocking up on dog treats?
Stocking up on dog treats.
For the holidays.
And I was mere miles from the trap tree, and I was about to turn around and go home when the folks in my car said, well, what about going to see that lobster trap thing that's covered with lights? And I was like, oh, the trap tree! How could I possibly forget? I nearly forgot while I was right in town to go and see it.
Some tires screeching, a Dukes of Hazzard style U-turn.
And that trap tree, as always, never disappoints. Has a big, glowing, shiny lobster at the top. And I posted a picture for all of our Flopcast friends to see. So
yes.
Go over to facebook.com/flopcast and see it there. And no sooner did I have it up, a text. Oh, no, not a text. A Turkst came in.
Oh, yeah.
I received a Turkst from your other half of Sponge Awareness Foundation, Ed.
Ed.
Ed sent a Turkst.
Yeah.
And he's like, what a coincidence. I'm mere miles from the trap tree and I'm about to go see it myself. So I think there was something going on that was drawing us all to the trap tree. Kevin, I don't know how you and the mayor didn't end up there. It just seemed like everybody was going.
Yeah, it's kind of a Bermuda Triangle effect. The trap tree was drawing people to it.
And yet, I feel like I've had no trouble at all avoiding the trap tree all these years. All right, well, I'm glad you got to visit your trap tree.
It's glorious.
And then Christmas night, like a giant lit-up lobster monster comes crashing up out of the whole thing, right? And terrorizes the community.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that part. I might show up that day.
Yeah, that sounds
Thank
like
you.
A good plan.
Hey, we did a top 4.5 list not too long ago.
Everybody loves them.
But now we're going to do a holiday themed top 4.5 list.
I'm excited about this.
Which we haven't done in a while. And we got a request earlier this year, please talk more about the old Christmas specials, old holiday specials, animated and otherwise, because it's been years since we really did a serious in-depth talk about all those old holiday specials, which we love, we're obsessed with, we watch them every year. But you have to go back to like year one of the Flopcast. We did two top 4.5 lists about the old Christmas cartoons.
Yeah, that was kind of our deep dive into
yeah,
the subject.
Yeah, that's in the 30s, episode 31 and 33, I think.
Okay, we'll put a link in
yeah,
the show
let's
notes.
Let's go way, way back. And we did a list of our top 4.5 holiday specials from Rankin-Bass, and then holiday specials, not Rankin-Bass, everything
right.
else.
And that was extensive. I really thought that we had exhausted the topic pretty well.
Well, it's been 6 years.
That's true.
We could just repeat ourselves. Who's going to know?
Some creative dubbing.
We're putting a different spin on it this year in that we're not just listing the shows.
Right.
We're going a little deeper. The subject for this top 4.5 list is top 4.5 supporting characters from holiday specials.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
So, Kevin, you start.
I'm going to start by
not doing
stopping and not doing anything because it's become something of a tradition. I don't know if you remember 6 years ago when we did our old lists of the holiday specials, I abstained. I just kicked back and relaxed while you two actually did the lists.
Hey.
I just relaxed and I made sarcastic comments about everything and everyone.
That's right. You always make us do all the holiday work.
Well, right. It's become something of a tradition this time of year around here.
Every
6 years, I take a night off and I did not make a list. So this is all on you. But we're looking for supporting characters. So, for instance, in Frosty the Snowman, which we just watched a couple of days ago, you know, the old Rankin-Bass mm-hmm. Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman would not be considered a supporting character.
That's correct. Because
he's arguably the star of the whole thing. So we're looking for supporting characters. And I think Cornflake should start, because I know your list is nice and fresh.
You want to tell the listeners how fresh it is?
Well, as soon as you arrived at the studio, you thought you had prepared your list, and then you suddenly realized that no, you had not. But then, right on the spot, you just slap together a list. So this is a very, very newly prepared top 4.5 list. So Cornflake, you are up at number 4.
For number 4, I'm coming out of the gate strong with Cindy Lou Who from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Oh, that's an excellent choice.
That is a fantastic pick. That's the voice of June Foray, of course.
Cutie Pie in Pigtails, who wakes up in the middle of the night and asks the Grinch why Santa Claus would do something so terrible as to take everything away.
She's a light sleeper, though, isn't she, that Cindy Lou Who? Like that ornament came rolling into her room and stopped. Because earlier, the Grinch was in there, like, ripping candy canes out of the Who's hands. It might have been a different house. I'm not sure. Was that at Cindy
Lou's
house?
No, I think it's the same house.
That same house? Okay, yeah. Same bed, then?
Yeah, there's like five Who's in the bed.
Yeah, they pack in the Who's like Willy Wonka's
family. Yeah.
Willy Wonka, Charlie family. But yeah, Cindy Lou just pops right up when that stupid ornament came rolling in.
She might be the cutest character of that Christmas special. It might also be the dog, Max. Cute. I haven't decided who I think is cuter.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't go with Max.
I am, too. I guess this happens when you make a list on the spot. But yeah. My point is, it's so cute that I can't stand it. So Cindy Lou Who makes my list at number 4.
All right. Cornflake came out of the gate strong with a very well-known character. And I'm going a little bit more obscure for my number 4. And that would be the Mouse Bell operator in the Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
When, what an attitude on that mouse.
Yeah, Junctionville gets their letters from Santa returned. Father Mouse decides to call up the North Pole and find out what's going on. And the operator at the North Pole substation realizes that Junctionville is the town that has angered Santa by publishing a letter to the editor that says Santa Claus is a fraudulent myth. And the indignant Mouse hangs up on Father Mouse after telling him Santa was very unhappy about that letter. It signed all of us.
Oh.
Well, I love how he ends the conversation where he just rips that cord out.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the big switchboard there. There's no wrap-up of the conversation. That whiny mouse just decides, well, this is over, and just rips out the cord.
Operator with attitude. And
and he's dressed like in the little Christmassy court jester kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, he's got like a little
bells
little
and things hanging off exactly. Him like an elf.
Yeah, they really get up in the Christmas spirit there, but
very merrily dressed to work the switchboard.
He was not having this insult to Santa, so he was angry on Santa's behalf.
I remember being on the phone with our goofy friend Matt years and years ago, and this was probably April, you know, this was off season. We're just having a conversation, and we are all of us. We'd love to just drop in obscure references and use these lines from these Christmas specials that nobody knows. And just out of nowhere in the conversation, I said, like, you did say Junctionville, didn't you? And Matt got it instantly. Yeah. He came right back at me with the, ooh, that explains it.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite quotes, definitely. Ooh, that explains it.
That's an incredible cartoon. It has a wacky mayor in it, as many of these shows do. We are big fans of wacky mayors around here. I don't know if any wacky mayors are going to show up on either of your lists, but I just have to wait and find out and hope. I'll hope and you hurry. That's how we'll split up these casts. So let's hurry on to the next one then. Cornflake, number 3.
I don't know. I might raise a few hackles with this one. We'll see. But I picked from the year without a Santa Claus, Snow Miser.
Oh, I definitely would think, yeah, Snow Miser, I would definitely pick over Heat Miser. Snow Miser's
you too.
Snow Miser's a friendlier guy.
And us with our cold beverages.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're sipping Snow Miser approved beverages over there right now.
Yes.
No, even as a kid, I realized that Snow Miser sings, "Friends call me Snow Miser," but Heat Miser sings, "They call me Heat Miser," and that must be because he doesn't have any friends.
Right. Because he's not cool.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah. He's a hothead.
So. Exactly.
He has his little demonic minions.
Yeah. Yeah, those are really the only friends he has. Well, he probably had to make them.
Yeah, they're on the payroll. They have to be his friends.
His mini-me's.
And that's not to say that Snow Miser didn't have a bit of an attitude, but I've always been a big fan of the cold and the snow, and I'd be sad if Heat Miser got his way and it was 101 all the time. So I'll take Mr. 10 Below.
I feel like if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd go Heat Miser.
Yeah, you seem to have a strange affinity for Heat Miser.
I really do. Well, I guess that answers the question, is anybody on the list also on our tree? Because the Miser brothers are both hanging on the tree right here in the studio right now.
In fact, the way you have them hanging on the tree, they're looking at each other.
They're staring right at each other, yes. I very carefully arranged the Miser brothers on our tree.
They are perpetually having a sibling rivalry.
Was Dick Shawn, was that the voice of the Snow Miser?
Yes.
Yeah, did I get that right? Okay.
Yes.
And George Irving then would be the Heat Miser, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
You may be right, I didn't look that one up.
I think so. We're working from memory, we might be completely wrong about everything we're saying, as usual.
We'll correct it in the show notes if we are.
Our heart's in the right place, though.
Yeah, but that's a great pick.
Oh, sure, and come on, The Year Without a Santa Claus, classic. I know we covered this in our 6 years ago.
Yes.
But just to clarify, my theory is that the Snow Miser's father is Father Winter from the Jack Frost cartoon.
He does. If you look at the two of them, I could see the resemblance. A lot of ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both magical snow and cold characters, and one of them is named Father Winter.
And, you know, Mother Nature is the mother of both of them, but they have different fathers.
Yes. Heat Miser's father is the devil. We've got this whole thing figured out.
How is Jack Frost related to him?
I drew a very disturbing chart.
In the Jack Frost special, Jack Frost just seems... He's just one of the wintry characters that are affiliated with Father Winter. There's a whole bunch of
characters. There's two different Jack Frosts.
Oh, that's true.
In Rankin Bass, because you've got the Jack Frost of the Jack Frost cartoon is very different from the Jack Frost who appears in Frosty's Winter Wonderland and in Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
No relation?
Just different interpretations of the same character. I think that the Jack Frost cartoon, that's the one with the groundhog is in it, Buddy Hackett as the groundhog. That's really separate. That's not part of the shared universe of Rankin Bass. That's one of the separate Rankin Bass shows.
But it's still great.
Oh, cool. It's amazing.
There are a lot of great supporting characters in Year Without a Santa Claus. I'm partial to Ignatius Thistlewhite. Myself, the kid who helps
that's
out Tinkle and Jangle.
Okay. Yeah, you got the kid and the goofy parents, the wacky mayor of Southtown.
My sister's favorite song from that special is It's Gonna Snow Down in Dixie.
That sounds great.
All right, well, time for my next pick.
Yeah, number three.
Number three. Again, on the obscure side, this is a character from Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. One of the four characters who sings We're Despicable.
Oh.
One of the five characters in the special voiced by Paul Frees.
Ooh, wow.
It is The Undertaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love one of the lines he sings in the song, We'll steal your pen and pensible, to rhyme with reprehensible. And then in the following line, when the charwoman sings, We'll sneer at you, leer at you naughtily, he just does this great thing with his eyebrows.
Yes. Yeah. He's actually leering in cartoon form.
So, yeah, that's, you know, I don't have much to say about him other than that. I've just always, you know, liked the tall, hulking Undertaker with that unmistakable Paul Frees voice.
Yeah, it's a great character, of course, and he's kind of lurking over the rest of them. Big tall guy in the top hat and creepy eyebrows. He steals the cufflinks, right?
I believe so,
He's got the ES monogrammed cufflinks.
Yeah, we should clarify, this is in the Christmas Future segment when Ebenezer Scrooge is dead, and these are the people who've been tending to his body and stealing his few possessions.
Yeah, well, obviously, we're obsessed with Mr. Magoo's Christmas special, perhaps like nothing else.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe what we need is the Razzleberry of the Month Club.
Oh,
yes. Razzleberry dressing of the month.
If someone could send me a cartoon jar of Razzleberry dressing every month, I would appreciate that. The whole thing is just so incredible and wonderful and awesome. And you think, how can this possibly get any better? And then those four horrifying thieves show up and do their big number.
Yeah, that's really, that's one of the more memorable songs in the whole special.
Wow. Like right at the end, out of nowhere, the most wonderful thing in history suddenly happens in the middle of what was already the most wonderful show in history.
It just makes you wonder why more holiday specials didn't follow suit and include an Undertaker.
That's true.
That's what the holiday specials these days are missing.
But Magoo, and I know we talked about Magoo 6 years ago as well.
And probably several times since then.
For sure. But Mr. Magoo, that was before they'd figured out how holiday specials for kids were supposed to work. And so they got away with that kind of thing because they were doing a pretty faithful adaptation of Dickens. And so you had the dark aspects of that story were left intact, mm-hmm. including stuff like that. If you went to make a version today, they'd lop out so much of the dark, creepy stuff that got mm-hmm. left in the Magoo version. That was 1962. That was before Rudolph. Rudolph was 64. And people think of Rudolph as this is what kicked off Christmas specials. But Magoo was a couple of years ahead of Rudolph. But it was also, the formula wasn't quite there yet.
I'll say.
And it's kind of like a Broadway play. And in fact, the framing device is Mr. Magoo is starring in this production of A Christmas Carol.
It's so great. And it kills me that there are people that still haven't seen it. And it doesn't get the attention that all the Rankin Bass stuff gets and Charlie Brown and the Grinch. And it should be right up there.
Absolutely.
In people's consciousness with all those other classics.
Oh, it's up there in my consciousness. That movie.
Oh, in yours,
yeah. That cartoon holiday special terrified me. I think the fact that they framed it as Magoo being on Broadway helped a little bit.
Yeah.
You forget. You get into it and you kind of forget. A very morgy Christmas to you as well. Scary as all get up. But it's still cool.
When you said you had a supporting character from Magoo, mm-hmm. the character that immediately came to mind for me, oh, there's so many to choose from.
Yeah.
just now it occurred to me that the oldest Cratchit daughter.
Oh.
I'm amused by because she's like 6.5 feet tall.
Right.
And it seems like, why haven't they married this girl off yet? One less mouth to feed. But the first one that occurred to me was the two guys that are collecting for charity. They come in at the beginning, and of course, Magoo chases them away. Get out of here. You know, I'm not going to give you a nickel. But then he runs into them again, of course, after his big transformation Christmas morning. Here's those guys again. He hits them with the big sack of money, you know, to make his big generous donation, of course. The one with just the two little weird white strips of hair on each side of his face just stares at the camera and just starts frantically nodding up and down amazingly quickly.
Right.
Just this goofy, super quick nod, yes. And I love it.
He was honestly like a runner-up on my list.
He was on the short list to make your 4.5
right.
list.
He doesn't even speak. The other guy who was another Paul Frees character does all the talking.
Yeah, Paul Frees did so many.
He does Fezziwig.
He was Fezziwig, of course, sure. But that's true. That guy doesn't even talk.
Right.
And yet almost steals the whole show.
Almost.
Just by nodding. All right, we're jumping back to Cornflake.
Yes.
With number 2?
I don't normally do a very good job getting obscure on these lists, but this one might stump you a little, at least at first.
Ooh, try me.
If I say Jerome Doc Crystal.
You may have stumped me. That's not ringing a bell.
What if I say Doc from Fraggle Rock?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did not know before I put this list together that Doc's full name was Jerome Doc Crystal. His nickname is Doc.
I didn't know that either.
Now, is Doc the guy, the human being with the dog?
Yes, Sprocket.
Okay, yeah.
Sprocket's the dog.
Okay.
And he's the guy on Fraggle Rock. Well, you know, what does this have to do with a Christmas special? There was a Muppet Family Christmas. Not to be confused with Muppet Christmas Carol, which is basically the same story as Magoo did there.
Sure.
But a Muppet Family Christmas where the gang all goes to Fozzie's mom's house for the holidays. But Doc has rented Fozzie Bear's mom's house for the holidays just to have some solitude. And Kermit and Fozzie and Gonzo and the Swedish chef, they all start piling into this house. And Fozzie's mom puts Doc to work, helping with the hospitality of getting all these people into the house. And then the cast of Sesame Street shows up as Christmas carolers. But you watch this poor guy who's just trying to like have a quiet Christmas is suddenly having to make beds for all the Muppets, share space with all the Muppets.
It helps to have somebody around to take care of things who's not a puppet. Because it's really hard for those Muppets to like do any heavy lifting. And the Fraggle show up, too.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really what was amazing about this show, is you've got Sesame Street, you've got Muppets and Fraggles.
Yeah, with the Pass It On song.
In one show.
That was, yes.
As a comic book guy, you know, Justice League, and Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I like when worlds collide like that.
Yeah, it's a crossover.
Yeah, it was a big crossover.
And there were so many Muppet Christmas specials. A Muppet Christmas Carol definitely was at the forefront of everybody's minds for a while there.
They did the John Denver one.
Yeah.
John Denver and the Muppets. Sesame Street Christmas.
Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. There's a Jim Henson's Christmas Toy, which makes me cry uncontrollably every time I watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing's horrifying. Don't watch that, anybody. There's a very Yip Yip Christmas.
What?
Yes. That was the best one.
I think that was the title of our Flopcast episode 6 years ago.
Oh,
when they wear green and put stars on their heads, they kind of look like talking Christmas trees. Jingle bells. Yep.
That cartoon typewriter that would come rolling out.
Oh, yeah.
I think they gave that thing its own Christmas special 1 year.
Wow, they were really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel.
But I love how Doc goes from just this indignant grump, and he has every right in the world to be angry, to just having a ball with the Muppets.
It would have been an even more astonishing crossover if they'd also worked in to meet up with Doc from the Fraggles. What if Doc from the Love Boat also showed up?
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
We're really getting crazy.
Well, this particular Muppet movie was missing a special guest star, like the show used to have.
Yeah, it should have been.
That could have been
a very special guest star.
Bernie Capel.
Yay!
And then it would have taken a turn for the naughty, because you know Doc would have brought some ladies on.
Oh.
He was quite the ladies' man there on the Pacific Princess. All right, Mayor. I'm hoping you have someone from the Love Boat now for your next pick, but what is it?
No, but it is
number two.
It is another Muppet adjacent character.
All right.
This is from Emmett Otter's Joke Band Christmas.
Ooh. Nice.
And I chose Doc Bullfrog.
Oh, okay.
He is the kindly restaurant proprietor who, early in the special, you see him greeting Ma and Emmett as they go by, and then at the end when things look bleak and. Neither Ma nor Emmett and his jug band have won the talent contest.
Yeah, and they did not deserve to win.
All right.
You know it.
The correct act won. There was no shenanigans going on. There's no hanging chads. There's no gerrymandering. The Riverbottom Nightmare Band was the best act in the building that night.
You are correct. It doesn't matter that they were jerks. They were the most talented and they deserve to win.
They're a great band. I wish they would tour. I'd love to see them live someday.
I'd love to see them open for Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, that would be a good pairing. Regardless, as they're all walking home and singing their two songs, blending them together, Doc Bullfrog overhears and wants to hire them all on the spot to entertain at his restaurant.
Yeah, so that they lose the contest, but they get a regular job.
With regular food, too.
Right, isn't one of those rodents is all excited about mashed potatoes?
Exactly.
Get all the mashed potatoes I can eat. Yeah, and that was a good-looking frog. I look like a frog wearing a winter coat or whatever he had on.
Yeah, he was in a suit, I'm pretty
very
sure.
Very well-dressed for a frog.
Well-dressed Doc Bullfrog.
Good-looking puppet.
Yeah, a good frog, a non-Kermit Muppet frog.
That's a wonderful show.
It is wonderful.
We watch it every year.
This year, after all these years, they released the soundtrack, the full soundtrack on CD.
Is there music that's expanded or not in the show?
I think there's one.
Are there deep Riverbottom Nightmare Band album tracks that I've never heard before?
There is one bonus track that's a partial song that I think we've heard because it was played in the bonus material on the disc. There was going to be another number in the talent show.
I could use a lot more Riverbottom Nightmare Band music in my life. All right, that's a great pick. I like that frog, Cornflake. How do you top a frog? What do you have at number one?
With an elf.
All right.
Not just any elf, Hermie.
Oh.
Hermie the Elf from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay. We've talked about Hermie on the show.
All-time favorite supporting characters.
Well, I met Hermie. Special.
That's right.
I met Paul Soles, the voice of Hermie the Elf, a couple of years ago.
And there's Hermie on the tree, looking right back at me.
Oh, there we go.
Another character on the list who's also on the tree. I hope a whole bunch of weird plastic chickens show up on your list, because those would also match what's on the tree. And hopefully the flying spaghetti monster also.
Hermie gave me a lot more respect for dentists.
Mm, really?
Yes.
See, my opinion of dentists plummeted.
The fact that he pulls out all the Mumbles teeth.
Well, yeah, when he attacks that poor, abominable snow monster at the end. You know I'm on the Bumbles side in all this.
Yes.
It meant no harm.
Well, it did. It was going to eat all the reindeer.
Well, that's what it does. That's the circle of life.
All right.
It was a predator trying to survive in the Arctic. And
now
that's what it does.
Now he's just going to starve while he puts stars on top of
it. It eats reindeer.
Stars.
Yeah, now it can't eat anymore. They're going to get a couple days' work out of it before it just collapses.
I like to think that the elves will make him some soup. Or maybe all that stuff that...
Santa didn't eat?
Yeah, the stuff that Mrs. Claus was trying to use to fatten up Santa. I think that they can repurpose that and feed the Bumble.
I think that Yukon Cornelius and the Bumble have bonded to such an extent that Yukon is pre-chewing all the Bumble's food for it, treating it like a baby bird.
That could be. Yukon Cornelius is pretty weird.
It would not be the weirdest thing that Yukon Cornelius has done.
That is true.
He does have a nurturing streak to him. A little more than Hermie does, for sure. Hermie is...
So just to take people back, or for anyone, any newer listeners, by new I mean within the last 6 years, one of my weird theories about Rudolph, of course, is that Hermie is not an elf. The clearest evidence, of course, is that his ears are not pointy. He's got regular human-style round ears, and he doesn't know how to make toys. So clearly he's not supposed to be there at all. We can also determine, based on that evidence, that Hermie is directly, personally responsible for all of the misfit toys. Mm-hmm. He was a menace in that toy shop.
Maybe that's why I relate to him so well.
He was putting cowboys on ostriches and kicking them out the door.
Totally something I would do.
When I met Paul Soles, the voice actor, he did not sound like that.
Sure.
I'm
Imagine
shocked.
Walking around with that voice all the time.
He did look exactly like
okay.
that. Yeah, he was a little tiny stop-motion animated guy.
Mm.
He was also the voice of Spider-Man on the Spider-Man 1960s cartoon.
Oh.
The cartoon with the catchy theme song.
Yeah.
You know, that same guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he's still around.
Still around. Yeah, he's getting up there. That's an old dude.
I think Hermie also deserves bonus points for having the coolest hairdo of the entire cast. That blonde flip of hair.
Yeah, the Bob's Big Boy swoosh of hair.
Definitely.
Yes.
Right. And the other male elves pretty much had their hair kept under their hats. So that's more evidence that Hermie is not like the other elves.
Yeah. Do they have any hair at all?
I'm not sure.
Well, the boss elf has the goatee.
Yes. Right. I don't think you see the other elves' hairs. I think whatever hair they have is concealed under their hats.
The girl elves have hair.
Yes.
Is Hermie a girl?
Hermie's a girl. I don't think Hermie's a girl.
But we think Hermie's a human.
Hermie's definitely a human. Or at least maybe some other weird thing that we don't even know about. But he's certainly not an elf. That much I do know.
All right, well, I think it's time to move on from Hermie.
All right, what's
I think he's a good choice.
Oh, I totally agree. What is at number one for you, Mayor?
Number one, I'm going to A Cosmic Christmas.
Yes.
And, of course, we have to give some love to Grandma.
Oh, the Grandma. Oh, here we go.
Grandma.
Well, first, we better back up and explain A Cosmic Christmas, because I think most people don't even know about A Cosmic Christmas.
That's one of the more obscure specials among our favorites, but it's a Canadian special by the animation company Nelvana,
we just talked
about last week.
We mentioned Cosmic Christmas last week during our Star Wars holiday special show, mm-hmm. because Nelvana animated the cartoon segment during the holiday special, the Boba Fett cartoon, if you will. Same company, Nelvana. A Cosmic Christmas. Same era as well. Holiday special was 78. Cosmic Christmas was 77.
So in A Cosmic Christmas, three aliens arrive on Earth who resemble the three wise men, and they have been drawn to Earth.
Except for their tragic lack of wisdom.
Okay. Right.
That's how you tell them apart.
They have, in fact, no wisdom about Earth or Earth customs, or in particular Christmas. They have been attracted by the Star of Bethlehem. And they're met by a young boy, and after failing to find any Christmas spirit in the town, he takes them home to see his family, his mom and dad, and his grandma, who is really kind of the only one keeping to Christmas traditions and kind of shaking her head at all the crass commercialism and stuff like that.
Annoyingly so.
Yeah, she's a bit full of herself.
Judging the rest of us for daring to buy things for Christmas as opposed to carving out a couple of months to string popcorn. Like it's 1911 and we're on Walton's Mountain.
But anyway, so the kid arrives home with these aliens and the parents are rather alarmed, but the grandmother is very excited to see, as she says, men from Mars.
She's kind of like fluffing up her hair a little bit, like putting herself together.
Yeah.
And yeah,
these are the first men she's seen in quite a long time.
I mean, the attitude in her voice as she says, "My, my, men from Mars," very clearly she is very interested in these new gentleman callers. This is what she's been waiting for the last 72 years.
Takes all kinds, doesn't it?
It's such a weird little moment in this weird little show.
And then she proceeds to, you know, they want to learn all about Christmas, so she's in her element, and she gets to tell them what Christmas was like when she was a girl, and the aliens use their weird alien powers to sort of conjure an illusion of what that Christmas was like.
Sure, and that's fine, and that's appropriate, but mm-hmm. at this point it doesn't matter anymore, because all I'm thinking about is the grandmas trying to hook up with these Martians. This is such a wonderful little cartoon, and largely forgotten, even though we were certainly trying to keep it alive here on the Flopcast, because I know you've heard me yammering about it time and again.
In fact, our friend Mousy let us know on Twitter just recently that Mousy had gone ahead and watched the special.
Oh, that's cool. It's online. It's on YouTube, so you can easily watch it. I don't think it's officially available anywhere, unfortunately, but it's amazing. It's beautifully animated. It's that fun, bouncy, fluid style mm-hmm. that Nelvana used, and just so many little character moments and just little things popping all over the screen. There's so much going on. They put so much care into these, and in the middle of it all, you've got your horny grandma.
Grandma doesn't have a lot of years left. You let her enjoy what she likes.
It's a nice counterpart to the horny Wookiee grandpa.
Oh,
in the holiday special.
We should have introduced them. They're tied together by Nelvana.
That would be a perfect match. Yeah, because the grandma,
she likes aliens.
Grandma's into aliens. Well, aww, here you go. Here's an old Wookiee.
It's a match made in holiday special heaven right
The Wookiee is into Earth women because he's getting all worked up over the Diane Carroll video that Art Carney sets him up with.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, there's a Nelvana connection. We have definitely made a match here. This is our Christmas miracle for the year.
How are we going to break this to the Martians?
The Martians, I don't think they were terribly interested in the grandmother anyway. I think they might have their own thing going. I don't know.
We're not sure.
Who knows what's going on in that spaceship of theirs. But yeah, Grandma from Cosmic Christmas and Itchy from Star Wars Holiday Special. That's solid. That's
officially my OTP. Shipped right here on this show.
That's a good match. I love it. Cornflake. I don't know if we can get any weirder than that, but what do you have? Top of your list, number one half, supporting character from a holiday special.
Speaking of matches, I think we're going to get through this entire set of lists without having any. But we're about to find out. It's the moment of truth, then. My number one half is from Charlie Brown Christmas special, and I picked Linus. Linus, who explains to Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. That part where Linus is being the narrator, really, for the holiday play.
Here's a question. Who's working the lights?
Woodstock.
Was Woodstock. That's why you don't see Woodstock through the whole show.
Right. They didn't even introduce Woodstock yet. Woodstock just must be up there.
Hanging around up in the control booth.
Right. He's the only one who can fly, so he's the only one who can get up there.
Yeah, good answer.
It could be just another unseen adult.
Yeah, we just watched the Davy and Goliath special, Christmas Lost and Found. And the Davy and Goliath special has a lot of parallels to Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
In that Davy's feeling all miserable, and he's not getting excited about Christmas. Then he decides, what if we put on a play, and he gets all the kids together. So, you know, just like
Charlie Brown.
And also, for the most part, there's a lack of adults in it. Not as strictly as the Peanuts shows, but Davy's parents do not appear in the special, which is really weird.
Right, and Davy and Sally spend some time at home setting up the little, you know, Christmas scene, the nativity.
Yeah, there's scenes at home. There's a reference to the mom made cookies. You can have a cookie, but you never see the parents in it. So I thought, were they basing that on the Charlie Brown show? And there's even, at the end, all the other kids are gathering to confront Davy, just the way all the kids, you know, come up to Charlie and his tree. So I was thinking, were they just really leaning heavily on Charlie Brown when they put this thing together? Then I looked it up, and the answer is no, because both shows came out within a couple of weeks of each other.
Wow.
In 1965.
That's really funny how things work sometimes.
Yeah, see, I was ready to accuse Davy and his Weasley dog of ripping off.
Plagiarizing
Charlie Brown Christmas. But yeah, Linus is certainly the
the conscience.
In many of the Peanuts specials, of course, the voice of reason, the voice of knowledge and wisdom and whatnot. In Thanksgiving, he gets to give the speech sort of.
Similar. I think that's kind of modeled over.
Similar to Christmas.
The one who believes in the great pumpkin.
Yeah, that's maybe not his most, that's not his wisest, most mature moment.
Yeah. Linus really went off the rails at Halloween time.
Repeatedly, he is the character with so much heart, and that's why he's my favorite.
Few would argue with a pick like that. That's solid. And now here we are with the mayor.
All right, I'm finally kind of being serious here.
Bring it on home.
My favorite supporting character from a Christmas special is Winter Warlock.
Warlock. Santa Claus is coming to town.
As a kid, my favorite song in all of the Rankin' Bass genre was Put One Foot in Front of the Other.
Yes.
Which is the song where Winter Warlock learns to be good. And it's just like taking your first step.
Do you prefer Winter Warlock as a crazy, evil, angry villain type? Or do you prefer Winter after he melts his icy heart and now he's part of the team?
I'm preferring Winter after he becomes good. But he's a pretty good, scary villain, too.
Yeah.
The design of him is really interesting, like looking like the frozen trees.
Oh, yeah. Seriously scary. And even especially like when you watch the original broadcast, like when we were kids watching it on TV every year, there was that commercial break.
Sure. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just like a scary cliffhanger kind of just going into commercial where they're all about to be murdered by the Winter Warlock.
Right. The trees have grabbed Chris and Topper.
And yeah, and even Kris Kringle just has that horrifying face. Yeah. His mouth does that weird thing. Like, man.
Yep. And then it all melts away and it's winter, please.
Yes. The kinder, gentler Winter is what I had in mind calling him my favorite supporting character. But
I feel like he really, all the life was out of him at that point.
Oh.
You know, didn't really have that.
That spark.
Yeah. I was going to say he didn't have a spring in his step anymore, but that's not correct because he was frozen in place as Winter Warlock. Keenan Wynn.
Yeah.
The voice of the Winter Warlock.
Yeah, a really great voice performance as well.
Yeah.
And he's the one who enables the reindeer to fly for the first time.
Yeah, he's
the
got
magic feed corn.
Yes.
Right. Is that just in his pockets?
Yeah, that's all the magic he has left when they're all imprisoned.
They're imprisoned. But they're luckily in a prison without a roof on it.
Exactly.
So that worked out for the flying reindeer plan. Mm-hmm. But Keenan Wynn was around as an actor for years after that as well. And I was going through my Manimal DVD set last year. You know, Manimal?
Yeah.
From the early 80s. And Keenan Wynn pops up in an episode of Manimal.
I'm pretty sure I've seen him in something. As a live actor in something.
He was around for a long time, of course. And the son of Ed Wynn.
Who's a guy
from a million years ago. That's like an old vaudeville guy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Edwin has that voice that...
It's oft imitated.
Yeah, there so many cartoon characters have used an Edwin-type voice. King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yep.
That's an Edwin-style voice.
Yep.
One of the Banana Splits used an Edwin voice.
The Mad Hatter in the Disney Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh, good one. Dr. Blinky from H.R. Puffin Stuff. And it's one of those classic cartoon type voices that, that kids don't even know where it started from.
Right.
Well, it started with Ed Wynn, father of the Winter Warlock.
I just love that of all the things to be left after all the other magic is gone, it's corn. It's wonderfully random.
Yeah.
I think it proves that his pockets must have been pretty disgusting.
Yep.
I would be so tempted if I had to pick a supporting character from Santa Claus is Coming to Town to go with the little Weasley assistant of the Burgermeister.
Yeah, you know what?
The guy with the soldier helmet and the little mustache.
Yeah, he was actually definitely a runner-up for me.
Made the shortlist also.
Yeah, he made the shortlist, but I had to go, you know, I had to go sincere. I had to go with the character who really made the biggest impression on me as a kid. Right. And
none of the Kringles made the shortlist, those little
Kringles. No, Kringles aren't, maybe Tanta Kringle.
Yeah.
I kind of like her, but the male Kringles are annoying.
They were very annoying.
All right, so that's my number one half.
That's the list. That was a good list. I like that I didn't have to do any work.
Right.
I hope that was satisfactory to those listeners who were requesting more discussion of the old Christmas specials, because yikes, we love all those old shows.
We
shall continue to study them year after year. It's all we think about year round.
Really? 90% of the conversation between Kevin and me is quotes from Christmas specials.
Yeah, that's where we largely communicate through just lines from Christmas specials all year. It's how we talk. Let's see, a couple of things before we wrap up. And that is, I was on Earth Station 1 this week.
Oh, yeah.
Earth Station 1, episode 450. Yikes. 450 wow. From those guys.
They're 100 episodes ahead of us.
That's kind of a milestone number to hit, right?
Sure.
450, good job. They're less than a year away from hitting episode 500 at this rate. How about that? So yeah, Earth Station 1, of course, the flagship show of the ESO network. And I was up on the station again with Mike and Mike, of course, as well as Ricky Zero, musician Ricky Zero. And we were discussing, this was another comic book creator spotlight show, which I've joined them for a bunch of those. And this time the subject was Jim Aparo. And Jim Aparo, a classic DC Comics artist, especially in the 60s, 70s, 80s, he drew Aquaman and he drew a lot of Batman, Batman the Brave and the Bold, especially, which was Batman's team-up comic back then, Deadman, the Spectre, Batman and the Outsiders. He drew all that stuff. A great, great comic artist. One of my favorites when I was a kid, I mentioned on the show as well, my first Jim Aparo comic book. I remember buying this thing, going to the little general store in my town. Because I grew up in Mayberry, evidently.
Yeah.
And 1979, I bought a Brave and the Bold comic book. It was Batman and the Flash working together. But just to prove that it was the late 70s, the name of the story is The Disco of Death.
Oh.
And you actually see Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen, the Flash and the Batman, go out disco dancing. Like they're in the John Travolta suits.
What?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Are they on a date?
Yes, a double date. It's Barry and Iris, and also Bruce and whatever lady, you know, Bruce was playing the field, you know,
okay.
So whatever lady of the week was out there with Bruce Wayne.
It wasn't Dick Grayson.
It was Grandma from Cosmic Christmas.
It might have been, yeah. She would have been all worked up over going out for a big date at the Disco of Death.
She would have been younger then.
She would have been a little younger, yeah. She was only in her late 60s at that time. So Jim Aparo, anyway, was the subject on Earth Station 1, episode 450. That will be out by the time anybody hears this, so check it out. And my other announcement is we are looking ahead at our conventions for 2019, because mere hours ago, as we record, I got confirmation I will be appearing at Aresia next month.
Wow.
So Aresia is the big science fiction fantasy convention in Boston, and it is January 18th through the 21st. New location this year. They're not in their regular hotel. They have moved to the Boston Park Plaza Hotel, which is closer to downtown Boston. I will be on some panels. We'll be telling you about my panels as we get closer to the convention, but I will be busy once again at Aresia this year. That is January 18th through the 21st. So if you're going to be around Boston next month, make your plans. Join us there. Cornflake, let's wrap up.
Well, if you put one foot in front of the other, you can walk over to your computer, boot it up, and find us on the internet at flopcast.net or facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. There's even some Instagram pictures to look at on Instagram, with our handle being @the_flopcast.
All right, we're done. Cornflake, see you next week.
Peace and candy canes.
In a world where podcasters talk about the same old pop culture topics, two heroes must rise to bring forth a new era of podcast entertainment. The Cigar Nerds Podcast. Movie reviews, pop culture debates, news, science, and even beer reviews. We're stranger than Stranger Things and funnier than an evil sewer clown. CigarNerdPodcast.com. We all smoke down here, Georgie.
All right, secret after show.
Look at that. Here we are.
Remember this bird from 6 years ago?
Oh, here we go. We're going to have the bird. Please have the bird sing.
We have this little goofy stuffed bird character for the holidays, wearing a little Santa hat.
It's a bald eagle.
It is an eagle? Okay. I could never determine what kind of bird this was.
I'm pretty sure if you took that Santa hat off, he's bald.
I think it might be a skink.
Not a bird.
It's holding a little Christmas Carol songbook in its wings. And we played this bird on the show because when you poke at it, it makes noise. And we use this for matches.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we did our Christmas special list 6 years ago, anytime we had a match, the bird would sing.
Yes.
And there were no matches today. And so we did not hear the bird. But that all changes right now because here we go.
Yeah.
We love those extra two notes on the end.
Yeah, the best part is that little coda.
Just the sarcastic extra two notes coming out of a toy bird.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.